Thunderstorms come into our lives at various times, but you need to stay mindful of the fact that they did not come to stay, they came to pass. I say, do not panic, do not jump off any bridges, because this too shall pass. It is not personal, as it's permanent. Remember, it came to pass. It did not come to stay. This too shall pass. This is Willie Jolly. Visit my website at williejolly.com for tips on how to live better and make this a great day.
The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 Talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. KYND, Cypress, Houston, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. Your kind of radio. Happy holidays from the powerful 1520.
Welcome to the Chadwick Pack Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Yuri Solomon, and we are live in the studio, Pack Pastors, with our president, Wilford Dorton. This is Chadwick Pack, changing the inner city, one family at a time. Pack stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. Today's topic is going to be what we promised on last week, and that's a show on Christmas. And we will be talking about Christmas in relationship to the family. How can celebrating Christmas advance the spiritual maturity and the togetherness and the equipping of your family for ministry? We're talking to you, and we'd like you to talk back to us. And you can do that by simply calling this number, 832-230-5592. You can do that, and we'll get you right on the line. We used to wait a minute, but you can call us anytime during the show, and we'll get you right on the line. And so let's do this. Let's introduce our pastors that are in the studio with us today.
Merry Christmas to you all. This is Harry Coles, Equippers Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chew Street. Look forward to seeing you one day, and then we hope that you enjoy the show today. Merry Christmas to y'all.
Pastor James Warden, Second Baptist Church in the Heights, 810 West 24th Street, Houston, Texas. Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and Merry Christmas to y'all.
All right, I'm Pastor Ralph Crowder, Southwest Houston, 8109 Creek Bend. We have our church service at 10:30. It'd be great for you all to come and join us. Merry Christmas.
Wilford Darden, Quippers Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chew. Services start at 11. 10:30 on tomorrow.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
All right. I'm Yuri Solomon, and of course, I'm the pastor of the New Life Baptist Church in Sunnyside, Texas. And we'll be starting services tomorrow at 10 a.m. No Sunday school. We're big on Sunday school, but no Sunday school tomorrow. Be 10 a.m. will be our services. Okay, today's show, of course, is about Christmas, and everything we do involves what we call the Healthy Family Initiative. We're after making your family, helping you to make your family healthy. And so that's what our show topic is going to dovetail right into. We're always talking about and talking to the spiritual leader in the home. That's right.
Right.
We want the spiritual leader, the mature one, to take charge of your Christmas.
Yeah.
And use it for God's glory. A spiritual leader is nothing but one who is empowered by God to show others how to love God and to love others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you love God, you love others, and you just spreading the know-how of what the Bible says about doing that. So anyway, we're going to talk about Christmas, and we all know what Christmas is. Christmas is when we celebrate. It is when we celebrate. let's get that straight. It is not Jesus' birthday.
Amen.
That day.
Amen.
It is the day that we celebrate his birth.
Right.
Or, to be technical about it, it's the day that we celebrate what we call Advent. Mm-hmm. And that means that he came to earth. He, and I love the biblical language, he appeared.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That God, the invisible God, appeared on earth for us to, as John would say, we touched him, we heard him.
Yeah.
We handled him. The word of life, you yeah. know. And so that's what Christmas is all about. And then we know it was a family situation because Mary was pregnant. She went to go see her cousin who was pregnant with mm-hmm. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And so it was a family affair. And I think it's a great inspiration and a great model for us to remember that God is all about family.
Yeah.
He's all about family.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
And what we want to do, because he's not about just us blood kinship,
yeah.
but he's about our blood kinship becoming spiritual kinship.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we sometimes don't realize it, but over half of Jesus' disciples were close kin to him.
That's true.
Blood too. Relatives.
That's right.
Him. And so, anyway, but we want to stay on topic. We're talking about...
I was going to pull you back. I got you.
We're talking about Christmas. Come on, Will, give us...
I think, too, when we think about it, I think about Joseph being the spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to. He has tremendous problems and challenges with just getting Jesus here.
Yeah.
And when we take a look at that, you take a look at how his spiritual... identity connected with the fact that God could touch base with him, take the boy to Egypt. Now you can take him back. You know, the wisdom he has when there is no place in the inn. I mean, there's no place in Bethlehem for them to rest, and his leadership is to get the baby born. You know what I mean? This kind of leadership is what we say, and the Bible says he was devout. That means he was blameless as it relates to Jewish customs and things of that nature. And when we take a look at that type of leadership in the home, whereas he can get the Son of God born here on earth mm-hmm. by using the same biblical principles we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
being able to touch base with God, being able to recognize when God is asking the leader to do some things, being able to move when God wants us to move in order for our family to be better. These kinds of things is what we talk about scripture is all about.
Mm.
And one of the things that we miss when we just go to church and worship but don't get in our word, we don't grow in what Christ wants us to be.
Right.
We're not in tune to how to forgive and how to confess and how to repent and how to restore one another, which is the essence of biblical health.
Right.
We're healthy when we can keep our communication lines open with God, so as Yuri opened earlier, we can love him and love people
mm-hmm.
and get the wisdom out of that love to help everyone else in the home grow to the maturity factor that's needed. So when the kids leave, they can have the same type of families we are trying to represent and reduplicate those values in the home.
Yeah.
And then how much better would our African-American community be if we had those type of leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Those type of leaders, while boys would look up to us as dads and say, okay, even though I don't like it, my dad is strong in the Lord, understands what he's doing, and we still have fun with him.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a little fun.
Yeah, got to have fun.
And so when we take a look at that Christmas story, the Christmas story is one that when God gets ready to bring his son to earth, he's using a family context.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus gets here, he recognizes that. And he begins to now build his disciples in such a way that when the church comes on board, that the family is the first thing in the church that has to come to make that thing work. Because the word says, if you can't lead your home, how can you come to the church?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And do any kind of leadership there.
Right.
So, you know, we want to take a look at that. When we get back, I think I went off. But when we get back to Christmas, we start talking about the day he's born. And the day, the Bible says, you know, one of the things we kind of miss is the number one thing that God wants. And God wants a people called unto himself that worships in spirit and truth.
Right.
Worship, yeah.
He wants, but he wants his own people. Just check the scripture. Yeah. First we get Adam, and then we got to get Noah. We have to get that because he wants his own people.
Right.
If you read Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, he says, finally, I have a group of folk that I'm going to be their God, and they going to be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants. So Jesus comes to carve out a people from the entire world that will love God, love others, so that he can have his own people. And that's what heaven is about.
Right.
Heaven is about God having his own people that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what it's about. And so here, God sends his son to earth to carve out a group of people that he can call his own. And he sends Jesus to die for the world so God can carve out a people for himself. And we want everybody listening to this radio broadcast to be his people. That's what we want. That was a trick. That was a trap. I trapped him there.
Now, I think that's interesting because when you start talking about Christmas, there's so many ideas, and many of them are false ideas about Christmas and what we are celebrating and all that kind of stuff. And when you talk about God's people from the very beginning of Christmas, recognizing, which again is not talking about his birthday, but talking about his birth. And so the church set aside a day, and it wasn't originally December 25th.
Correct.
But set aside a day that they would celebrate the advent or the coming of Christ.
Right.
And so to counter that, they done December 25th to counter, rather not counter that, but to counter the worship, the pagan worship, what the world was doing.
Right.
Now in this day and time, we become more involved with what the world is doing rather than involved with, as you would say, what God's people should be doing together as a unit, showing forth the praise of him that brought us out of darkness.
That's true.
That is it.
That is true. And so when we take a look at it is, if we just take a look at the word Merry Christmas, for example, right? Merry means to enjoy yourself, to party, to celebrate. Christ is the Messiah, the promised one to come.
Mm-hmm.
And Mass is communion. That's the Catholic concept of communion, and communion is the dominant thing that God wants with his people. He wants to commune with us all the time, talk with us all the time. That is the concept of praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean you're praying all the time verbally. It means that your mind is so set on things above that if God wants to contact you or drop some wisdom into your spirit, you can hear it and communicate back with him without opening your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It means when you're worrying and got something on your heart that you're troubled by, God can answer that thing without you opening your mouth, and you can receive it in such a way that you recognize that he's with you because he's a God. He's spirit. He wants to be in your business, and he sets up prayer without ceasing so we're able to consistently stay in contact with him because he loves us. And we're not getting that kind of understanding when we do just basic trust thing.
Right.
So when he sends Jesus, as a living example.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read John 14, out of that example, he's going to introduce the Holy Spirit to seal us to make sure that nothing can steal us away from him.
Mm.
We can't lose it. We can't drop it. We can't punt. Nothing we can do to lose it. You can't be bad enough because you were never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
He seals us so we can't blow it because it's all his idea.
Right.
And so when we begin to take a look at that, we can get confident and rest in the fact that now he asks us to do some things while we are here on earth. And when we finish that, we got to go home and live with him. That's the idea. Cannot happen without Christmas.
Right.
Can't happen because Jesus comes to be in John 14. Philip says, show me the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you still asking that question? When you see me, you've seen that. Mm-hmm. That was the picture he wanted to paint when he came. When you want to take a look at the Father's will, watch what I do.
Right.
When you want to see what God is asking you to forgive, watch how I do it. Because I'm the picture. I'm the illustration of how it should be done. And so once you get that illustration, now the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to be that illustration. And when we grow to maturity, we recognize how much worldliness in us. What does the Bible say? We all have sinned and fallen short. And it's not until you start walking with him till you see how far short and how far you've fallen. But you know what you begin to get? An appreciation every time he forgives you.
And that's a fact.
You begin to see a greater love factor because there's no, you can't fall deep enough in sin, but he won't come get you.
Yeah.
You can't be bad enough so that he just going to kick you to the curb. It just won't happen because he'll never leave you or forsake you. And then when you reach a certain level of maturity and just appreciate it, then what's going to stop you? Nothing can stop you because you're working off the same one that saved you. Can't get that picture without Christmas. So we can have a merry time as we walk in peace.
Yeah.
We can have a merry time as we deal with the Messiah. We can have a merry time if we have prayer without ceasing. That's our own personal mass.
Right.
Then we have corporate mass when we come with others who are saved and walk in the same way we are. And so when we start talking about Merry Christmas, that's kind of the concept of that.
Yeah. All right. And so since you introduced that idea, definitions of Merry, rejoice, and then Christmas,
right,
which literally means a church service that worships Christ. Now, that's important because that's what we used to do. In fact, that's what everybody did till about roughly 50 years ago.
That's true.
and it started, you know, but when I was growing up on Christmas Day, no matter which day it was, whether it was Monday through Saturday, or whether it was even on a Sunday, of course. And you would go to church and you would celebrate Christ before you did anything else.
The biggest church day. The biggest church
is the, yeah. And I raise that up because there's a controversy today, and we want to speak to that, of churches that are canceling church service on tomorrow, Christmas Day, because Christmas is falling on a Sunday.
Oh, have mercy.
Well, you know, like you said, up until 50 years ago, that's when we started changing, and I don't know how people are going to take this or not, but that's when we start changing and we start making the churches, and a little after that, what they call, I guess, seeker-sensitive churches, making the churches for those that are lost, which it is. But the church is a place where the body of Christ is built up to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've gotten a little too comfortable with people. Yeah, football games on Sunday. I love football, but I take games. You know, we got so much where Christ is not the center of our life. And that's what's happening. We got him on the sideline.
Right.
And we call him when we need him. But instead of our life revolving around Christ, everybody wants to have Christ evolve around what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this is coming from, where we're getting more relaxed on Sundays. But I remember years ago when we first started church, been doing this for 20 years now, and I had much younger people. Many of us were much younger. When they had younger kids, and they were saying to me, well, Pastor Crowley, are we going to cancel service? I'm like, no, we're not going to cancel service. Now, this is Christmas. And if you look at the definition that you gave, Pastor Darden, it's celebrating Christ together. And I said, well, no, we're going to have church. And they said, well, what if people stay on with their children? I said, that's fine. I said, but Christmas should be celebrated. The church should stand up. If anybody should stand up, it ought to be the church.
Can I say this?
Uh-oh.
I saw a video that was 2 million Christians marching in the street celebrating Christ in the Philippines.
Yeah. Now, see.
And here we are in the United States. Debating whether we should even have church.
Help.
But if you watch over time, there's been some great theological delusions. What's the word?
Where departures. You just,
departures is the word. Well, we had the traditional church. And we all know what the traditional church was, what we're speaking of. And it had the traditions of our forefathers in them.
Right.
And those traditions, most of the time, came through pastors who were not educated. They got saved. They may have been out in the fields. They may have been in the homes of the slave masters, so forth, so on. But they were not necessarily educated. And as we move more and more towards an educated kind of church, it became more cultural than it became theological.
Yeah.
Because when we started, you remember when they first started getting pastors who were taking salaries, well, your traditional folk wasn't going to pay. They did not believe in that, but when it caught on, it became more cultural because the pastor began to pull from the cultural trends, not the biblical trend. So the culture began to interpret Scripture and not the script, not the Spirit itself. And then we moved into more of a contemporary church where you remember back in the early, late 70s, early 80s, where exposition of the word came out and became popular. And so the preacher started taking us to exposition of Scripture, where the Bible returned to take its place.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of moved culture back a little bit. And now as it's moving on, we have to move into a kingdom context because the territorialism of the church is stopping the advancement of the cause. But, you know, I can't talk to you because of your people, and your people got to check in and check out. There is no connection sometimes between Jesus and the people.
Mm-hmm.
For the people have to have more instruction from their pastor than they do from the Spirit.
Mm.
And when you see that thing, you're going to see a deadness because God won't glorify it. God won't speak to him. He's going to back up out of it, and he'll choose not to touch him. And that's what you're watching. Read Matthew 11. Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you've kept this stuff from the prudent and given it to the babes. But nobody knows the Father but the Son, and the Son to whom he chooses to reveal himself.
That's it.
And a whole lot of stuff. If it's not about God, he won't reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So all you'll have is the cultural religious traditions of the day. People are tired of it.
Hold that thought right there, and we're going to come back to it. You're listening to Chat with Pac. Changing the inner city one family at a time, and we'll be back right after this.
1520 KYND. Memories and more. Better than ever before.
Better than ever before.
With a different show every day.
Monday.
We go back in the day with all of your old school favorites on a more memory Monday.
Tuesday.
It's gonna be a party. It's two-stepping Tuesday. It's two-stepping Tuesday with Johnny Coe. Country and Western, Southern Soul, and Blues.
Wednesday.
It's a wide open Wednesday. That's the day we have a little bit of everything, including you, to talk about all the things we do.
Thursday.
Thursdays are always special with many specialty shows.
Friday.
It's the Friday Showdowns when your favorite artists battle it out and you determine the winner.
Memories and more.
Memories and more.
Better than ever before.
Better than ever before. On 1520 KYND.
Do you know what time it is? It's Gulf Gate time. What you've been waiting for is finally here. Time for you to clean up with tremendous savings on all 2015s. Want a new Dodge? It's Gulf Gate time. Chrysler? It's Gulf Gate time. Jeep? It's Gulf Gate time. Ram? It's always Gulf Gate time.
Not only during end of the model year closeout, but it's Gulf Gate time when you want the best deal on any automobile, on any of our 2016 and 17 lineup, to include the all-new Chrysler Pacifica with low to no interest rates available along with other bonus incentives. Don't wait. Come see me, Guinevere Cloud, because it's Gulf Gate time at 7250 Gulf Freeway. Call 281-477-6767 or online at GulfGateDCJ.com.
No matter what time it is, it's Gulf Gate time.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
From our family to yours, Merry Christmas, 1520. KYND. From Cypress to Crosby. On the air everywhere.
Everywhere.
The powerful 1520.
Just enough. Just enough for the city.
All right, welcome back to the Chat with Pac Radio broadcast, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. I want to remind you that if you want to learn more about us, you can go to the World Wide Web, to the Internet, and go to our website, which is
Chat with Pac. Chat with Pac. That's P-A-K, Pac.org. Chat with Pac.org.
All right. And then we want to also tell you that we have classes that's dealing with you. You've been hearing, and we took a break from that to deal with Christmas, but you've been hearing about our core values that we teach and train on that advances lives and families and testimonials that we have concerning people that have come through our classes and so we've been talking about those five values. I'm trying to call them out: faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, servanthood, and stewardship. And we're going to get back to those in the next show. But if you want to know more about our classes, then you can call our offices at 713-784-6055. Call us and learn more about our classes and sign up for those classes. They're absolutely free. There is a book that you have to pay for, but other than that, they're absolutely free. And we want to also make mention that all of this stuff is connected to jobs. And because you go through our classes, it happens to put you in the front line of some particular companies that are hiring. So if you're looking for a job, you're looking to get hired, this is a good avenue. And companies of all – we're ever advancing in companies. Majority of the jobs have been in the oil industry. Is that right? The oil?
Petrochemical.
Yeah, petrochemical industries, and even on some light, anyways, power plants, right? That's what they call
right.
it.
Right, chemical plants.
Chemical. So, anyway, jobs are available by coming through this avenue, and we invite you to call our offices, 713-784-6055, and find out what's going on with that. Also, PAC stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. That means that we're looking for pastors who want to join up with us and get involved. So call us about that as well. The same number works for that. Their campuses with our classes all over town, the Northwest Campus, Southwest Campus, Central Campus is in Fifth Ward, Far North Campus. So you can call us and find out the locations. And no doubt in my mind, it's one that's accessible near you. And so we invite you again, 713-784-6055. There are also materials on the website. So if you go to chatwithpack.org, you will find materials on the website that you can download concerning the stuff that we're talking about. And you might want to follow along with us when we're talking about particular topics. So back to our topic of Christmas, and we were talking about how when the black church in particular, if I can use such a term, became educated, that there was a culturalization of our practices.
Yeah,
we became more cultural. Sometimes education is a strange beast, because sometimes we think it betters us. The old folks say, but you grow wiser and weaker.
Right.
And not that education is bad. We certainly are not against education.
No.
But it has its place. And sometimes we think it does more than it does.
Yeah.
And sometimes we something that catches my attention is, for instance, some falsities. For instance, the word Christmas. And sometimes it was abbreviated as Xmas.
Yeah.
And people tend to have the thought, and you hear people who, what I call a pseudo-education tone, who thinks that's a bad thing. And so they talk it across the pulpit, and they say, well, they took Christ out of Christmas.
Right. Not recognizing that X was a symbol.
For Christ.
For Christ, yeah. Just but, not knowing.
But talk more about this, how we've become more culturalized as a result of.
And so what happened in the black community is wherever we were able to increase our social value as a people, we tend to exclude what the biblical expression says to us as a people and just bring it in the church.
Mm.
And we would do things, for example, the entire homosexual movement that has moved into the church. This is going to be seriously controversial, but nonetheless, when we start talking about women that are pastors, I'm not talking about women that preach the word and evangelize. I'm talking about pastors that was not going to happen because the scripture is pretty clear about how the order, how God has set up his order in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see that, and it's supposed to replicate the home. So the home is supposed to be an exact replication of what the church is supposed to do. It's supposed to be a male leading it. Jesus is the man who leads the church. Jesus gets his instructions from the Father. The church is in the feminine. The church is not in the masculine. The church is the she. So the she, Jesus is the male. The church is the female. When the male hooks to the female, the kids come up as disciples, and we follow the same model. Man goes home, sets up shop. The wife comes in. The wife blends to the submission of the husband. The husband submits to Jesus. Submission is not a bad word. Submission is a military term.
Yeah. Right.
In
right.
fact, nothing happens if you can't submit.
Right.
Nothing happens
right.
without submission. If any kind of order is going to take place, something has to submit.
Right.
The
yeah.
value level is not in play. And so when we begin to see that, the God blesses the structural order of it.
Right.
And Jesus comes into town to make sure that that structural order is returned. So what God's original intent was meant, Jesus came to set it back in play. That's why he says in 1 John 3, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Because whatever the culture came in to exclude what Scripture says,
mm-hmm.
that has to go in God's mind. People don't really care because it's a social place that people want to be. Mm-hmm. But what happens with that, religiosity becomes the power
right.
and not the spirit.
Right.
And so when the spirit leaves, you can just have a social club talking about God. But God has chosen who he will allow to worship him. Anybody can't just worship. Worship not opening. If you're not saved, worship is not acceptable. Because you must worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit is what hooks you to the worship. So if that's not happening, it's not going to take place. No matter if you go to church or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the scripture is excluded because of the culture, a whole lot of things we do, but God is not in on it.
Right.
All right.
And after it gets so much fun, it's a lot of people, they don't really care. I get, you know, large congregations, 15 services or whatever, God must be in on it. Doesn't mean that. And so what happens is you'll have a lot of people, but you won't have a lot of change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what are we seeing now? A whole lot of church services. How they say church on every corner, but the community's not changing.
Right.
Because God's not going to bless that change.
Right.
Well, we're here to say you can do what you want to do. We're not here to beat up on the church or whatever, because everybody claims to be saved. Everybody claims to know what they're doing. Everybody, I mean, that's here. What we're saying is we stick with scripture.
Yes.
Across the board.
Mm-hmm.
We stick with the fact that the Spirit of God is the one who knows God, and God sent him to seal us so we would know the scripture. God sealed the writers of scripture with the spirit. The same spirit that sealed the writers are now sealing the ones who read it. How it works. So when we hook to what the writer's intent was by the spirit, grow in the spirit, become mature, then we can share the love of God based on the scripture. And when we do that, we've now moved into contemporary churches because now we exposition the scripture so everybody that's in-house understands the scripture and attains to what we call biblical reason. We
right.
reason from the scripture empowered by the spirit. And so when that happens, as you see now, the cultural Christian church is waning. A lot of people are just kind of tired of having fun. And this whole knowledge of can I know God?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the hooping and hollering, as they say. We want to really get some word. We want to really know if we know God, and that's what we're receiving. And so what we're doing now is installing spiritual growth patterns. How do you look as a babe? How do you look when you're trying to overcome the world? How do you look when you're trying to get your gifts? And so as you're growing, you're recognizing the power per stage. And as that power comes on per stage, you begin to see where you are and how much of the old you need to get God to remove for you, kind of stuff. And so that's what we're talking about. And when we begin to see that, the contemporary mood will take us on into the kingdom where we recognize Jesus as king. He gives us instructions. We take the instructions, and we watch things change. that's kind of where we are with that.
Yeah. And, you know, but Pastor, as you were saying, Pastor Dorton, the Christ, Christmas is about Christ so that you can get that personal relationship. You know, Christ came not just to come into the world, but he came that we might have a personal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. When you look at Luke, the scripture talks about where the angels declared that that joy unto and peace unto into the earth and peace and goodwill toward all men.
Yeah.
But now, if that's the case, the people, then why aren't we living in peace throughout the world? But yet those who have Christ and have that personal relationship are experiencing that peace in spite of the disorder.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Because it's in a personal relationship, because not only after he said that peace unto all men, now all men didn't include everybody, but whoever would have there to have a personal relationship with him could enter into that peace. But then he said, unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born. He said, unto you. So not only is it public for all men, but it's a private thing. It's personal because it's unto you.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about it a little further in John 3. He said, you marveling that I told you that you must be born again?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus came, and Christmas is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right.
It's not about the gifts, but it's about the gift.
Yeah, the gift.
The gift that God so loved the world, mm-hmm. he gave his son.
Yeah. Right, right.
And his son came that we might have a personal relationship. We miss Christmas because we're commercializing it about the gifts when it's about the gift.
Yeah.
Not about what's under the tree, but about what the Father has given the world.
And that's kind of what we do in our home around Christmas. We enjoy one. Because in our home there's no drama.
Right, yeah. Right.
There's no drama even allowed at our home. And the peace that we have in our home that allows us to relax and enjoy each other's company. The peace that we have in my family, recognizing as a leader, I am dedicated to God. I'm not going to leave that then their comfort is in my leadership.
Yeah.
And when they begin to see that, even my son has decided he didn't want to do the thug thing. Let me just go have some of my daddy's peace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And begin to recognize that he now can go and enjoy life, because with peace and not drama, he can expand. He started him a small company. Okay. He can expand his company because he recognized if he minimizes the drama, he's going to have more clients that want to be around him. And if you have more clients, his value is going to go up. If he puts down a good job, and with that, now he can expand and drive his nice little jaggy boat. So what we're talking about, we sit around talking about the role of Christmas in our home, mm-hmm. and what we're going to do for 2017 so we can begin to have more healthy family conversations around that tree.
Right.
Yeah, around the tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, around the tree. So we talk about that. I'll let Yuri introduce us to that one.
Well, what I was going to mention is that when you start talking about these special days, that they're a great time for emphasis and for evangelistic efforts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we're talking about the advent, the coming, and all these things of Christ into the world. And we're sitting around with our unsaved family members that only come to drink some of the beer and whatever else they come to do, you know, and party, more partying that does not edify Christ than that does. And so what a great opportunity to emphasize.
Yeah.
To emphasize. And sometimes we're busy as Christians trying to say, well, you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas and all that kind of stuff. Rather than taking the emphasis that God has given us at the hand of the church, the hand of the church, through the church, hand of God through the church, and emphasizing Christ and winning souls to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Because remember, God wanted people that's his.
Right.
And if you're going to do that, you got to be born again. You got to be born into his family.
Yeah.
And I think for so many times, the church, especially back in the traditional days, made salvation about heaven and hell. It didn't make salvation about living in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It didn't make salvation about doing the work that God has created us all to be. To make salvation, connect salvation to the fact that God had called everybody that's saved before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
To be holy and blameless, Ephesians 1:3 says. So if you've been called, if you saved, you've been called.
Right.
Some of the time we mix the calling into the church with the calling from God out of darkness in the light.
Yeah.
But you got to be called out of darkness in the light, supposedly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before you even get in the church.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's the first call.
And so when you recognize that first call, and then you begin to grow in Christ until you're respected, and then can become a leader in the church.
All right, all right. You're listening to Chat with Pac, changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back right after this.
1520. KYND.
This is Bill Russell. I ain't got much time, so listen carefully. If you or your family member are looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, I've got every make, model, and brand. BMW, Range Rover, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Mercedes, Lexus, Nissan. Did I say BMW? Of course I did. Before you drive all over town and get jacked around, call Bill Russell at Momentum BMW, 713-596-3100.
Go see Houston's car legend Bill Russell now at Momentum BMW Southwest.
This is Les Holmes wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
Did you know over 50% of the working population are employed in small business, and that 65% of all new jobs since 1995 were created through the innovation of small business? Being an entrepreneur isn't easy. I know this challenge firsthand. Hi, I'm Stephanie, founder and CEO of Trey Magazine. This holiday season, I ask you to join me as we start a new tradition, one that strengthens our local economy, expands employment, and nurtures our community. Discover the difference you can make when you shop local. Go to TreyGreenBook.com today.
Get connected. Spend smart. Shop local. Find your tribe at TreyGreenBook.com. That's TreyGreenBook.com. Empowering our communities for a stronger tomorrow. Know a small business you want to support? List it for free now at TreyGreenBook.com.
Know someone who's being bullied online? Send the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more about the witness emoji at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Woodlands to Warden. On the air everywhere. Everywhere. The powerful 1520.
Welcome back to the Chat with Pac Radio broadcast. This is our last segment, and we want to remind you that you can go learn about us on the World Wide Web at
PAC.org. ChatwithPac.org.
So go visit us on the World Wide Web and see who we are and check out some of our materials up there. You can call our offices about classes that will be starting. We're already looking at the new year. If we wasn't looking at it, we'd be late in our game. But we're looking at it, and we're excited about the new year. We're excited about the class. We're excited about those who have signed up for classes. And you, too, can find out about our classes by simply calling 713-784-6055. Again, today we're talking about Christmas, about Christmas and all that it should mean to us as Christians, and that all is in Jesus. That's,
Christmas,
Christ is Christmas.
Yeah.
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yes, he is.
And it seems like we're straying away from that and making everything else the reason for the season. But I'm going to introduce something here because everybody always beat up on Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is not the, you know, he's really not the big guy in the red suit and all that kind of stuff. It was a real person.
Yep.
That it came from. And in fact, the word Santa means holy, saint.
Yep.
It's a Latin. And Santa Claus, or Saint Nicholas actually was his name, was a priest who gave a toy to some orphan children in a very, very difficult economical time. So here's a guy that was doing the work of Jesus Christ. And of course, what does the devil do? He comes and hijacks it, turns it into something else.
Get that man a slave. Get that man a slave, some reindeer.
But Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And so that's who we ought to be celebrating. Let me sum up some things we've been saying. Bring a little structure to
it.
Put
some structure back in.
First of all, we talked about the fact that he appeared to earth to be an example.
Yeah.
And then to seal us with the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And this idea of seal means he put his mark on us.
Yeah.
And that mark is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That once you have it, you can't lose it. And so he came to seal us. And that's the difference between the way the Spirit manifests in the Old Testament and the way it manifested in the New Testament. We have an eyewitness example.
That's right.
Jesus appeared. He came to earth so that we could see him. We know what he wants. We know what God wants.
That's
when
right.
we look at Jesus.
Right.
You might be guessing when you look at everybody else. You look at David, he got problems.
Yeah.
Moses had problems. All of them got problems. But Jesus didn't have any problems.
Right. That sounds like the preacher voice. Yeah. Yeah.
He was born.
A high tempo.
He was born of a virgin.
Yeah.
He's perfect. Yeah. And so lastly, so he came to be an example. He came to seal us. And then lastly, we talked about how he came to empower us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when we think about that empowerment, it talks about the difference between what's religious,
mm-hmm.
going to church. You can be religious and have Bible verses without the power of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can operate from a humanistic perspective and preach and teach from all you think it ought to be, mm-hmm. and never touch heaven.
Wow.
And heaven never touch you. And so that what begins to happen, especially after when the cultural trend of the church began to expand, it looked pretty lucrative to people who were not saved.
Yeah.
Yes.
And since there was no accountability in the pastoral leadership, everybody could claim they were saved and go try to get a church.
Yeah.
And then you had all of this unchristian-like behavior, preachers sleeping with women, preachers sleeping with men, the drinking, and all of that thing began to escalate. And it appeared as if the entire church was participating in it.
Yeah.
But what began to happen was people began to see, okay, there is a difference between the religiosity of the church and those who have been empowered by the Spirit. Because
right.
the pure love of God comes out of empowerment.
Right.
The sacrificial kind of thing where a person will stay up with you. You can call them at any time and they're going to come to the hospital and see what you're doing. All of these things are empowered leaders because we bring the love of God to you because God wants to show you his love through another human being.
Right.
So he gives us the power, and under that power, we won't blow it.
Right.
Scripture said we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the role of the flesh.
Yeah.
So when we're walking in that Spirit and our mind is stayed on things above, we operate as Jesus wants us to. It's a very interesting piece, too, in Acts chapter 1 because it says that Jesus was here 40 days after he had risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. And what was he doing 40 days? The disciples was waking up with him every day, taking a look at what that resurrection body looked like.
Yeah.
He was giving them visible proof of a person after he rises from the dead
mm-hmm.
on what they ought to do.
Yeah.
And those are the guys who wrote the scripture.
Right.
And you can't get that unless you get Christmas.
Yeah.
He can't rise from the dead if he doesn't get here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Christmas is about bringing him here so that we can see now the difference from the religiosity, because the entire New Testament was written against religiosity. Scribes and Pharisees had it.
Right.
They had it.
But they were the one who put Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the scripture is telling us. Watch for the people who look like they are from God, but they're not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're alive and well today.
Right. Yeah.
And so when we see that, they have their own concepts of Christmas, but it may not come out of the scripture.
Right.
As inspired by the Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So empowerment is where the Spirit brings what God wants and deposits it in us in such a way that the old us has to leave while he's there.
Right.
And while it's gone, then God can have his way with us so we can love people like he wants us to.
Right.
But we can carry out his mission his way, not our way. We can do the things he wants us to do like he wants them done, not like we want to do them. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between those of us who walk in the power of the Spirit and preach his gospel and live his word and those who are trying to make money off of it or whatever reason they're involved in it.
Yeah, I like something that you mentioned and talked about, which was this this vacuum that's been created between the concept of that all we're thinking about is being saved. Either we saved or we're not saved, right, and there's no idea what we're supposed to be doing in between being saved and on our way to heaven. You know,
yeah, right.
And how that vacuum has been filled with all kind of crazy stuff, like word faith theology.
That's true.
You know, like we supposed to be naming, claiming, and getting rich and being wealthy and all of this kind of stuff. I mean, if you don't have anything in that vacuum that comes from Christ that says, hey, here's what you're supposed to be doing before you before you die,
right?
You know, then it's going to be filled with all kind of, again, stuff that's not edifying and not the work
and the ministry. The thing that it kills the most is the trust in God factor.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because with the faith is a trust in God kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we and growing in our maturity is only as good as we trust him.
Right. Right.
So the scripture got to come to us, but we have to trust what we see. And people who can't trust are those who are probably not discipled by someone who has already trusted him.
Yeah.
Because we have to transfer that trust to people who don't know how to do it. That's what church is all about. You come into church to hang out with people who've been doing it for a while and know what it looks like and can help you through some of the things you're struggling with.
Yes.
Whether it's in a Sunday school class, a church worship, or just in the hall where you want to get a question from somebody that's doing it. We at Equippers take serious interest in discipling people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be discipled by me if you come around. We're going to transfer these values to you in such a way that one day you'll be able to do them and transfer them to someone else, because that's how it gets done.
Yeah.
And the religiosity is going to disciple religiously, sad to say, and bring up more people who culturally just want to do the church thing, try to be a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And get a whole lot of hoopla because you're a celebrity. But what you recognize is that one day you got to stand before the king.
Yeah. Right.
And he might not be smiling.
Yeah. I like that word you use, religiosity, because I think you picked that up from me.
Well, sure, man. Well, sure.
But I bring it up because I've chosen not to demonize the word religion, because the Bible uses it.
Well, sure.
It uses it. And this is what the Bible says. And, of course, religion, the difference is this. We get the whole thing about having a relationship with God. But what does a relationship with God do? It makes us walk in a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that religion, the Bible says, James says.
Pure religion.
Pure religion is what?
Orphans, deal with orphans and widows,
and keeping oneself unspotted from the world.
There you go.
And so, I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing right there. That's what our faith in God, our relationship with God, boils down to doing. That's what Jesus came to show us what we ought to be doing on earth.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons we're in the inner city, man, because we want to deal with the less fortunate.
And when you look at that, I mean, all of that comes about because of what you do with the discipleship. In other words, discipleship is about empowering.
That's true.
Because you can't help anybody else if you need help.
That's true.
You got to be empowered. And when you're empowered, then you can make the difference with someone for as being that one who can lead and help somebody else. And this is the thing about religiosity. When you look at it, we are... As a teacher can only teach what they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing we're doing. We are teaching what we have been taught yeah. to try to help somebody else turn around and ultimately become a teacher.
That's true. And, yes, and not to mention, empowerment is what stops the religious leader from snapping mm-hmm. because there's so much pressure on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's pressure all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
You got to talk to people on the phone all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to talk to people with bad motives. Mm-hmm. You got to help people who are just seriously dysfunctional and mm-hmm. looking for help. You got to separate the dysfunctional people from the one who got game and just trying to do something. I mean, and we all expected to do it a certain way.
Right.
We're all expected to behave like Jesus would behave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The moment you don't behave as Jesus has for us to behave is gossip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He goes out in all the papers.
You must not be.
you know, he's sleeping with somebody's hands, you know, all of that. So there's an expectation out there of what we should look like. We're saying that it's not just for leaders. It's for every believer.
Everybody right. is.
Every believer should behave the same way. And so when we begin to take a look at the behavior patterns and the expectations, it still boils down to Christmas. Because Jesus came to be the example of what that ought to look like.
Yeah. All right. This has been a great show. And again, we want to wish everybody happy holidays. Somebody say, well, why do you say holiday means holy day? That's holy where it comes day. From. Every time Satan try to take something and use it, look, this is God's stuff.
We're returning it. We're going to return it.
So Merry Christmas and happy holidays. We want to say one thing before we get ready to get out of here. If you had 2 minutes to live, what should you do?
First thing you ought to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins. Second thing you need to do is ask God is believe in the death, burial, and the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin. The third thing you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to seal you where you have a relationship with him and you know it.
And you know it.
And you know it. And yeah. the text is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You are included in him when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Mm-hmm. Having believed, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift.
What a gift that he gives to us, Holy Spirit. All right. Every Saturday, 4 p.m., KYND, 1520 a.m., tune in to the Chat with Pac radio broadcast where we are
changing the inner city one family at a time.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Hey everybody, my name is Robert Jackson, a.k.a. RJ, a.k.a. Skinny Fat Boy. I'm your audio tech at KYND Radio, and I'm wishing everybody a happy holiday.
Memories and more. Better than ever before.
Better than ever before.
With a different show every day.
Monday.
We go back in the day with all of your old school favorites on a more memory Monday.
Tuesday.
It's going to be a party. It's two-stepping Tuesday. It's two-stepping Tuesday with Zydeco. Country and Western, Southern Soul, and Blues.
Wednesday.
It's a wide open Wednesday. That's the day we have a little bit of everything, including you, to talk about all the things we do.
Thursday.
Thursdays are always special with many specialty shows.
Friday,
it's the Friday Showdowns when your favorite artists battle it out and you determine the winner.
Memories and more.
Memories and more.
Better than ever before.
Better than ever before. On 1520
KYND. KYND, Cypress, Houston, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. Your kind of radio. Happy holidays from the